Good afternoon.
Who kept that one going?
I don't know how that happened. That was not pre-planned.
Nope. Sometimes we just get jiggy with it. That's how it goes on this pod.
We get jiggy with it. I love it.
Happy Sunday morning.
Oh, Jitsi's telling me your microphone appears noisy.
You don't say.
Yep.
Everybody's complaining we're too loud all of a sudden.
Oh, jeez.
Everybody telling me stop screaming through these podcasts. Never.
I got some advice. You could turn your volume down, listener.
Yeah.
Exactly. You remember come up on the mic? How frequently that was a thing?
No longer a problem.
That's I think, and now it's become a problem.
Back off from the mic.
Yeah.
I like that.
Guys, lots to get to today, and I have a tailgate later.
I know.
So let's do this.
Okay.
Wait.
What?
This isn't the Dave Draft.
Oh, God, what did he do?
He found a Frank song, didn't
this
he?
It's the Dave Draft Fank Edition.
Franks. Franks.
Dave Draft Frank Edition, baby!
I was so hoping he would do that.
I'm into that. Yes. I like that.
That's great.
I can't wait for
Franks. Franks.
It's so bad.
I can't wait for you to have 20 of those saved on your computer somewhere.
I am running out of pages on this soundboard, I'm telling you right now.
That is beautiful. I love it.
Okay, a lot of controversy in the world of politics these days. We need to fucking get to this because I have major bones to pick with the two men on this program. Yeah.
Nico's mad. I am perfectly at peace.
This is a level of deception and corruption that I have never seen in my life. And this needs to be discussed. We need to have an honest conversation about this.
Oh, we do?
We do. Because this is a dirty business. We all know coming into this game, mud will be slung. Names will be called. Gerrymandering will be taking place. We all know this. But Adam Hall has taken this to a new low, and I just want you to know that you have opened up a can of worms that cannot be shut.
You keep saying that, but Nico, you need to take reins on those can of worms and use them in your favor. You haven't been doing it very successfully, my man.
Because I campaign with principle.
In principle, yeah. Yes. With conviction.
Yes.
Yeah, I see.
I believe in my Franks. I believe in the strength of my Franks.
I swear, if you guys use the word integrity, I'm going to lose my mind.
I believe in the strength of my Franks, and I don't think that I need to cheat the system in order to win, but apparently others on this program feel that way.
You believe in the strength of Frankie Muniz. I just want to be clear.
100%.
Okay.
Stand behind it.
Okay.
Adam, you want to explain what happened?
Oh, well.
In your own words?
In my own words. I got, like, no votes, which is kind of funny. You know, I guess a little surprising.
No,
but
no. You got two votes.
Oh, I got two.
You got Audrey's vote.
Oh, I did.
And you got your own vote.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is enough.
No, it's not.
You're in the race.
No.
You earned a delegate to the convention.
Thank you, by the way, Audrey. You're the best. No, I got no votes, essentially. You know, I my vote doesn't really matter, which is why I am deeply appreciative of Audrey. That was pretty cool. But still, you know, for all intents and purposes, like, you guys were way out ahead.
Correct.
Which is just, you know, it's like, I'm not going to be like, oh, I got this. I'm going to win.
In a heated race, though, at the top.
Yeah.
I think it was within one vote at this point. Right, yeah. Nick?
Yeah. Pretty close.
So the point is, it's like, I understand, you know, when to, you know, back out, you know, when to fold, no one to walk away.
In a song, I'm told. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so bad. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do the honorable thing and just bow out, you know, quietly.
Unprecedented move.
I'm okay with that.
Honorable.
Sure.
That's the word we're using.
I mean, I don't see what, you know, what's wrong with Andrew Yang, you know, bowing out and endorsing Biden.
Yeah.
The same thing wrong with Amy Klobuchar and friggin' Pete Buttigieg and all these motherfuckers who got a phone call from the Obama White House
Oh, I see.
The night before South Carolina or North Carolina or wherever it was.
I don't think.
When did they drop out again? Maybe it was before Nevada.
Well, hey, to finish up the story.
Yeah.
I ended up endorsing Nick because I felt like he reflected like the heart I was lacking.
Insane.
Which was, you know, I feel like Nick in a way, you know, was like an extension of my original Dave drab, which I know he will deny because he just wants to win. But yeah, it's like if I had to be honest, it's like I cannot go with just the immoral choice of, you know, endorsing Nico DiGregorio. It's not good for anybody to endorse Nico DiGregorio. So at the end of the day, it's like I have no choice. It's the better of two evils. Let's just be honest.
He's not even talking about your Franks anymore. He's just going straight to the source here.
I see that what you're going to do with your Franks next. That's what it comes down to. I'm like, oh, I get how the country is going to be structured through your Frank system. And it makes a lot more sense to me.
So. Wait, how did we go from, like, building a mountain to fucking changing the country?
The mountain's everything, okay? The mountain is everything.
We're talking about a Mount Rushmore here. We're not talking about changing the world.
Listen, these are some dirty tricks. Yes. This is the lowest of the low as far as I'm concerned in terms of politics, that a team just 2 days into the vote drops out and throws all of his votes Nick's way.
Yes.
Well, I will say this. There was no discussion between Adam and I.
No collusion?
No. At no time did I talk with Adam, ask him for his votes, offer him any deals, nothing like that.
No cabinet position?
I was just as surprised as you.
Hey, Nick. Yeah, Adam. Let's fuck with Nico on this one. Oh, yeah, let's fuck with him. Let's do it.
No, seriously, though. Yeah, I didn't know it was coming.
Didn't happen.
So here's the deal.
Yes.
As of Sunday afternoon at 10:36 a.m., I am conceding the Frank race and giving all of my votes now to Nick Evangelista.
Whoa!
I support our nominee, but I do not support this corrupt process.
Okay.
I do not accept this.
You just want to be Bernie Sanders in this situation.
Yeah, no, I totally got Bernied. It's crazy. I know how Bernie Sanders supporters feel now. Which is something I've never been able to say before, but I know it now.
One of the things I love about this is it's this little microcosm of the way the system works.
Yeah. It's insane what's happening to me.
I know.
2 weeks in a row, this damn draft, man.
Do you think you would have won regardless? It didn't seem that way, surprisingly. I have to be honest. You were not winning, Nico. Which is insane. I know, but you weren't winning.
Benjamin Franklin, Frank Dukes, Aretha Franklin, Frank Herbert. That's your championship roster.
Go Frank Herbert.
Here's the thing. Frank Herbert was like, he was a quiet one to draw people in.
And I was going to pick him, but, you know, my hubris got in the way. And then we struck a little deal there, Nick. So I was, you know,
what? Of
course, I told you to pick Frank Herbert.
Oh, I guess. I suppose
it was a good investment.
And I also think FDR hurt you.
Yes, I do think so.
Nobody gives a shit about FDR.
People love Sinatra, though, turns out.
Sure, Sinatra was a good pick. I will be, I'll tell you that. But I just don't think he's enough to carry you. And Muniz was like, I don't know. Muniz is a tricky one because everybody loves Frankie Muniz. You know what I mean?
He's got a pretty close to 100% approval rating, I would say.
Yeah, I would say so too.
But also, it's sort of like, it's sort of like forest management in terms of issues, you know, like everybody approves of forest management, but nobody votes on it.
I see what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Sure. A good park ranger really is.
Yeah, right.
What does that mean? I'm the world's most popular park manager.
Right.
Park ranger.
Yeah. Frankie Muniz. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he should switch careers and go that way. Okay, so that's the end of the Frank draft.
Wow. Franks. I know.
These are the Franks. I know. One more thing I want to add. What? Nick, you made a campaign promise in the Discord, and next week you are going to pay up, sir.
Oh, I did not promise anything.
Oh, you did indeed. You promised. I promised and you promised. And if this is how we're going to play it, you're going to follow through on your damn promises, sir.
Oh,
so that's coming next week.
Oh,
do you know what that campaign promise was, Adam?
R-E-S-P-A-C-T. Yep.
Find out what it means to me. We're about to find out next week.
Oh, boy.
Nick Evangelista singing Aretha Franklin.
You better practice, motherfucker.
I had my way in the queue. I was ready to do it. I was ready to croon till the sun goes down.
What a disaster.
All right, Adam, you want to make up with some Foo Fighters real quick?
Some Foo Fighters? Man, I don't know if I can.
Learning to walk again.
Oh, God. There are certain like artists that I can sing perfectly fine, like Sinatra, actually.
Perfectly fine?
Fine, fine. Strong emphasis on fine. I can't sing Foo Fighters very well, honestly. Yeah, I don't know why.
Listen. This is the business, man. You got to pay the piper. All right, let's move on. I don't have a stinger for the next one.
God damn it.
I don't think that works.
Nope. I guess it kind of fits.
Nick, is there any Dune-cember stuff, by the way? Anything?
Frank Herbert won the Frank draft. It's in the news.
That's true. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal, yeah.
All right, Hellboy. Quick story.
Yes.
First of all, this is an Adam selection.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Want to explain this one to us before I tell my story?
All right. It was totally random.
Okay.
I mean, I saw this movie last year. Had a lot of strong feelings about it. Was a little shocked by the movie, to say the least. And it's even now, even after seeing Cats, I understand Cats is like the more iconically bad, like goes down in history bad movie. But this one actually bottomed my list. Okay. I was so just disgusted by this movie.
This is your worst movie 2019?
Yeah, actually. So wow. I was like, okay, I mean, we talked about Cats. I would love to introduce them to the idea of Hellboy, because I do think there's a lot to discuss here. I think it's definitely a very us kind of movie, in my opinion. And it's especially interesting because of just how tumultuous the production was, and how we, you know, over the following year, we learned so much about how everyone was getting fired from this production. The director and the actors were arguing all the time. The cinematographer was actually fired by the studio to prove a point to the director.
Correct.
They basically said, hey, you think you can fuck with us, so we're going to fuck with you.
Yes.
And
the studio contests that claim, by the way.
Yeah.
And it's been reported in the trades that Neil Marshall sort of started that rumor, or at least did not prevent that story from going very public. And that's sort of the origins of it. That was something that sort of, I don't know if Neil Marshall leaked it or somebody in his camp leaked it, but... Yes.
So, as you can imagine, very, very volatile, and therefore, what a final product. I mean, my God, what a final product. And I just thought, we don't talk about new, quote-unquote, why is this a thing movies enough, so I thought it'd be interesting to discuss this, especially because I love the first two Hellboy films by Guillermo. I really love those movies, and that there's a few detractors from that first movie, but I've always, I've always kind of rode for them. I think they're pretty great.
Wasn't the first one generally considered better than the second?
Am I
misremembering that?
The first one's generally considered to be a good movie, but the second one is what's considered to be like the better of the two, actually.
Sequels. Okay.
And I think that's true. I've always said like I have a deeper love for that first movie, but technically, objectively, yeah, the second one's better.
See, I distinctly remember as a kid on my way to see the second Hellboy movie.
Oh, really?
I believe we got into like a car accident on the way there, and then we didn't get to see it. And so that kind of always overshadows the movie.
We're going to be associating Hellboy with train wrecks and car wrecks for a while now.
Yeah, I think so.
What a metaphor.
Yeah.
All right, here's what happened to me. Long night last night.
Oh, God. Oh, he had an experience with this one, guys. Oh, no.
Long night last night. This has never happened to me. This has happened to others on this podcast. It's never happened to me. Flipped the movie on at about 12:30 a.m. Was watching it, not understanding what was happening.
I was thinking, I'm like, this is a plot-heavy garbage film. Nico's going to have some trouble here.
Hold on, hold on. What platform were you watching this on?
On the television.
Okay.
Why is that a problem?
I'm trying to guess where you're gonna go with this.
Yeah, okay. May have consumed some beverages beforehand.
Okay.
Not gonna tell you which ones they were, but you know. May have involved apples in some way.
Okay.
Started at about 12:30. There's something with King Arthur and a sword. Got through about an hour of it. Right around the time where a baby turned into a goblin.
Yeah.
Knocked out cold. Knocked out cold.
Really?
Fell asleep with the TV on.
Wow.
No clue what happened in the second half of this movie. I didn't have time to finish it. I've done an hour. I've never done this before.
You didn't finish the
never
movie?
Never happened to me.
Oh, no.
250 episodes into this podcast, I have always watched everything. You've come in here sometimes. You only watched a half of the movie. You didn't watch the movie at all. Zach hasn't watched the movie.
We watched the wrong movie.
Watched the wrong movie in Nick's case. I'm always there. Meticulous notes. I read into it. I research. I do plenty of prep. This time I read the Wikipedia summary, not like it would have done me any good anyway, because I don't know what any of those words mean, but I have exactly an hour to comment on, and that's it.
Okay.
So my apologies, but you guys are going to have to carry me today.
That's fine, I guess.
I mean, this is the type of movie, like, when you talk about boredom, like, when you talk about falling asleep during a movie, this happens to me sometimes. Usually it happens with genre movies that are not really my thing and that often are very confusing and absurd.
Described this film. It's a
yes.
Yeah.
Confusing, absurd.
Yeah.
Genre not your thing.
Like, listen, I'll watch The Queen's Gambit till 4 a.m. Like, I'll watch like slow cerebral television shows about chess, period piece shows about chess till the sun comes up, and I will not fall asleep to it. But there is something about like this particular brand of like bro-y violent action that I just find incredibly dull.
Well,
and I know that is
you.
The complete opposite of what the filmmakers are intending, but I am just so fucking bored by this amount of excess violence, you know?
Yeah.
I actually don't think that would have happened with like the first Hellboy for you, or the second Hellboy with the gear.
I don't think so. I think you're right.
Because this one was boring. That is a good word to describe it.
I find this to be the case with a lot of movies that are just this much of a mess on all fronts, is that you, at a certain point, you start to check out of everything that happens and you sort of emotionally detach yourself. So by virtue of that alone, you're going to be bored no matter what happens. And yes, I can confirm. I saw this with my brother last year. We were horrendously bored throughout the entire thing. And you have to understand, my brother is not like one to like get down to watching like high art cinema, not to sound like a pretentious fucking asshole like I am, but like he's not, he thinks Goodfellas is overrated. Let me put that into perspective.
All right.
And one of his favorite films is Deep Blue Sea. So it should draw some kind of a picture.
Sure. We're not talking to Leonard Maltin here.
No. Yeah. I love my brother, and he's got plenty of good taste in movies. I do not want to besmirch the name of my brother, but you know, every once in a while, candy. We left the theater and we stop outside. He grabs me by the shoulder. He's like, Adam, I'm sorry. He apologized to me for bringing me to the movie. He's like, I'm sorry. Do you want to go get some J. Tim's wings? And I'm like, yes, I do.
Yeah.
Please, let's go to J. Timothy's. I need some fucking buffalo wings after that piece of shit. Yeah, guys, this movie is a monster. It's horrible.
It is.
And one of the things that annoyed me most about it when it came out was that critics were actually, I thought they went easy on it. I mean, it was not a well-received movie, but I heard plenty of people like defend the entertainment value, the performances, just the general idea for the story. I'm like, guys, no, this is a horrendous movie.
This is going to come back to something I've said many times. It's superheroes, but they swear. I mean,
yeah, in this
critics
case, yes.
Do give a lot of leeway.
Yeah.
When an R-rated superhero movie comes out, I think about the two Deadpool movies. Critics lost their shit for both of those movies. They went crazy. And then look, They're fine. I complain about them a lot, and I mostly complain about them because audiences and critics believe that they're reinventing the wheel in some way, which they're not. They're just traditional superhero movies, except they swear and they have tits in them. And that's what this is. Like, this is a hard R, uber violent Neil Marshall movie in like the vein of The Descent.
Not even.
I mean, in its violence, at least not stylistically, but no. In its violence.
Not with its tone.
Certainly not its tone.
Not even with its heart. There is like, yeah. The Descent actually is as bleak as that movie can be. There's like sympathy for its characters, and there's a lot of like heart in that movie.
Yep.
And there's nothing in here. This movie is an entirely showmanship, and it's totally vapid. And I just, oh my God.
It's just a bitter movie.
Yeah.
It just leaves a bitter taste in your mouth.
It's nasty. I'm not just talking about the excessive amount of violence, which you did not get to, by the way. You didn't get to the third act, which is like, even for me, I'm like, holy shit, they put this in a theater?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, I saw a guy get his jaw bitten off by a pig demon thing.
You see a guy get his face ripped off by a 100-foot demon?
Okay.
Or a guy, bone tied. Tomahawk style, ripped down.
Oh, yeah, like a chicken wing.
It happens in this movie, dude.
Yeah, love the bone tomahawk.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I wasn't like, I you know, even at the end of this, I never walked away from it thinking, man, that was a gory movie, though.
It's pretty gory. I think it's pretty gory.
Sure it is, but.
It's CGI gore. I guess that's the only problem. It's
precisely.
Like, it's like, it doesn't leave me being like, ooh, I'm just like, yeah, it's just an action thing. Like,
I think it's because of maybe the filmmaker's intention behind it to gross you out. You're just like, what? You know, it's just confusing and off.
Or maybe just the stakes felt so low.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe that's part of it. Yeah, I at no point was offended or scandalized by the violence. I just found it to be excessive for excessive sake.
Yes.
And you're right. I thought the use of CGI was just pretty dull. I mean, a lot of times it was like, oh, I'm watching a very violent video game. But who cares? Because you can tell it's not real blood in a video game. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of the case here. Like, I think about that long shot, quote unquote long shot, where Hellboy is fighting these three giants. And like, this is supposed to be Neil Marshall, like showing his style, like showing his action filmmaking prowess. When David Harbour is in front of a green screen, just like jumping over logs and throwing a sword around. And it's, you know, the illusion of one take, but you know, for 80% of that sequence, David Harbour's not in the frame. It's just all CGI effects, mm-hmm. You know, and it's like the camera's kind of moving around and kind of giving you the illusion of a single take. But you can tell the camera's not supposed to move that way. Like all we're doing is we're roaming around in a made up world like you would in a video game. Mm-hmm. And I was just not impressed by it. I was just bored by it all.
Some people love that Giants fight scene and I just hate it.
Well, okay, no, so
was done practically, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe I'm on that other camp. I actually particularly noted how I thought that was the best fight scene in the movie. But I also felt like it was the lowest stakes. It had nothing to do with the plot. Like, the main plot of the film, that fight could not have happened, and it would have been exactly the same.
What did you like about the fight, though? Because I just felt like none of it was, like, tactile. Like, there was no point where it's like, I can feel the punches landing. Or
no.
When they fall, I can hear the thud.
It's just, like, it's not so much even that, I'm not even saying that was, like, a fantastic fight scene. It was just the best the movie had to offer. The rest were just, like, either held down by too much, like, exposition and conversation and, mm-hmm. like, what I liked about that fight scene, I guess, in particular, is that they actually just let Hellboy fight. It was just a fight. There was no bullshit. Like, the beginning fight with the luchador thing, where his friend turns out to be a vampire, right?
Right.
I'm watching that shit, and I'm like, first off, shut up. Second off, why do you think I care about this person? Like, you're assuming that I would have seen the previous movies or something, maybe. I don't know. But, like, I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah.
So, and this leads to, well, what were you going to say?
Well, it's just like, and on top of all of that, like, just you don't actually get to sit and enjoy the fight because you're trying to figure out what the fuck's going on.
Yep.
I guess kind of what I liked about the Giants fight is there is no bullshit. There is no conversation. There's no plot. It's just fight, action. That's it. And even at the end, the main fight scenes that matter, again, there's too much plot, too much other bullshit happening for you to actually sit and enjoy the violence, I guess. Mm-hmm. And if this is that type of movie, like an action-y violent film, there's not really a lot of time where they let you just sit and enjoy the fighting.
Well, to put it into some perspective, the way this movie jumps from idea to idea, there's quite literally a segment where Hellboy's friend is injured and is probably going to die, mm-hmm. and his best idea he can come up with is, let's go to Merlin. Cut to them going to a cave where Merlin is.
Title card, Merlin's Cave. I didn't see this.
Right. No, yeah. It's just Merlin's Cave you're in now. I'm like, where? What is going on?
Yeah, how did they get there? How do they know this?
Exactly. It's like the movie feels like there was like another hour that was cut out of just setup and
well, thank God.
I don't even disagree. But if I wanted to understand anything that was happening, if I wanted to like get invested in the stakes, it would have been nice to have seen some of that. I mean, it's funny you talk about the luchador scene, and that to me almost like surmises the entire movie and everything that's wrong with it, because I right off the bat I'm confused about the world building, and I have no idea like how this world treats Hellboy, or if they know he's supposed to be around or a secret,
yes.
or if they're aware that monsters are even a thing, and I'm just lost right out of the gate. I should not be lost within like the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Is this considered a sequel, or is
no,
this like, it's a hard reboot?
It's a reboot. It has nothing to do with the other ones. Okay. I mean, Hellboy's father dies in the first Guillermo movie.
Okay.
And in here, he plays a prominent daddy issues role.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
You know.
Played by a very strange Ian McShane.
I know.
I just thought really poor casting. And I don't usually say that about Ian McShane, but I just thought he stuck out like a sore thumb here. Mm. And I was just longing for his John Wick character to show up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like there's something tonally, like he belongs in that world. And there's something about the self-awareness and the wink that really works in those John Wick movies. Here, it's just like it's so off-putting because, first of all, the whole thing feels very self-aware, but also unself-aware at the same time. And it's just a horrible combination of the two. It's like everyone thinks they're so funny and they're commenting on Hellboy's horns or whatever. It's so hilarious and gory and sophomoric, right? Like there's just a real like childlike energy to this. But at the same time, none of the jokes land.
Nope.
None of the characters feel real. None of the violence is any fun or revelatory. It is just sort of the worst of both worlds in that way. Like a movie that believes it's self-aware, but is also not self-aware in that way.
I know. Which makes me wonder what the hell they were going for.
I don't know.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't know why this movie needed a reboot.
Well, no. So maybe we should talk about that in general, because this was originally supposed to be Hellboy 3.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And I think Guillermo didn't want to work on it. And
Guillermo was not offered it from what I read.
Is that true? I know like Guillermo was trying to get Hellboy 3 made for a very long time, and then the rights were getting pushed around. And you might be right. The studio said no to him, but
he had his own script.
Yeah.
He had a Hellboy 3 script that he had written. Studio approached him with a new draft that had been kicked around for a while. Mm. They said, listen, you can direct it, but you're going to use our script. Guillermo said no. Ron Perlman was then asked back. Ron Perlman said, I'm not doing it without Guillermo.
Yep, exactly.
And that's when they brought Neil Marshall in and they decided to do it.
And yeah, they decided to do a reboot just because they knew it was going to look different enough from the other ones. So they said, well, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just try to start from scratch rather than build off of what Guillermo did.
Yep.
What's
your familiarity with the Hellboy character, by the way? Either of you?
I haven't read the comics. I just know the Guillermo movies.
Yeah, I've seen the movies. It's been a while.
I love that character. I think it's actually one of Ron Perlman's best performances.
Okay.
Honestly. And he's a ton of fun, and he's very lovable, and he's far more mature, at least at the end of the first movie, than he is ever in this movie. He's not exactly – he's played like someone who's frustrated that he can't, you know, go out and be who he wants to be, as opposed to a whiny brat who's, you know, annoyed that his dad – you know, keeps in a cage, you know.
So is he literally Satan, or is he like the son of Satan? Is he just another demon? Like what's...
He's not Satan.
He's the descendant of King Arthur. If you finish the movie, you would have...
Yes.
He's what?
He's the descendant of King Arthur, and he's one of the only people alive who can wield Excalibur, which he uses at the end of this movie.
Yeah. They get into his origins in this movie.
in about five.
The Wikipedia summary was pretty thin. Oh, turns out
they only got into his origins for about 5 minutes.
What?
Yeah, so
explain that.
Well, so yeah, one of King Arthur's secret daughters had a daughter who fucked a demon.
Yep. Yep. And so, you got Hellboy.
Now, I want to point out the timeline on that. Like, she, like, fucked a demon in what year would they have? In the 1500s, she had a baby, which was Hellboy. But Hellboy didn't arrive in the world until World War II.
When did she fuck a demon? Where
1500s.
Was it like demonmeet.com? Like, where, like, how do you meet a demon?
Oh, I think you just run around naked in the woods, I think, and like sing in Latin.
Have you ever seen Evil Dead? That's how it happened.
Was it consensual?
Yeah, I think so. She married him.
I guess so.
She married a demon?
Yeah.
Okay, Nico, did you get to the point in the movie where they raise Hellboy from hell? In
yes.
World War II.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where Thomas Hayden Church shows up.
I was hoping you would have seen that. What does he say to the Nazis? I forgot. But I just remember it being horrible.
Tell Satan who sent you.
It's so terrible.
By the way, really quick, the lobster. That was his name, right?
Yeah, the lobster. That's right. That's
the Nazi hunter?
The Nazi hunter, the lobster, who came in and started shooting all the Nazis. Fucking loved that. Like, make that movie. Don't make
Thomas Hayden Church as a Nazi hunter?
I'm just saying.
Don't
reboot Hellboy. Make that movie.
I'm in.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I am with you. Man, is that guy like ever not a fucking douche?
Every movie he does. Yeah.
He can play a Nazi hunter. He can play a man that kills Nazis. He's still like, oh, what a fucking tool bag.
Yeah.
Jerk off motion to Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah. But I do have a problem with this movie where we're going flashbacks into King Arthur, flashbacks into World War II, coming back.
I'm still hung up on the demon fucking.
How are you hung up on this?
She fucked a demon.
She took like a weekend cruise to hell? Like, on Earth?
They didn't tell us all the details. They just said, oh, by the way, you're King Arthur's descendant. Show on the screen some woman. He had a daughter who had a daughter. She fucked a demon, blah, blah, blah. Now you're here. That was it.
Yeah, but like
monsters.
Was there a custody battle though? Like, what's the deal? Why did Hellboy go back to hell? Why didn't he hang out on Earth?
That I don't know. Because in the gear,
I feel like no judge in their right mind would rule on the side of the demon husband as opposed to the wife, regardless of her financial situation. I mean, women get custody all the time anyway. Listen, never mind if one is a spawn of Satan.
She might have moved to hell with the demon. I don't know.
Why do we need that? Like, I guess there's other ways to express the fact that I don't know why he needs to be descended from fucking King Arthur. I don't look at Hellboy
and say,
yo, you look,
I see the resemblance.
You look like King Arthur, man. Yeah, I can really.
You're a spitting image.
Bigger question.
Yes. Yeah.
Why do the King Arthur thing at all?
I don't know.
Why do it at all? Just fucking leave it out. We don't need King Arthur and Excalibur. Just have Hellboy fight a bad bitch.
Yes. And this is what it comes down to. It's like this stupid MacGuffin where it's like, I need to be able to wield the sword and to kill the blood queen.
How about
queen.
It's just a heavy fucking sword?
Yes.
It's just heavy.
and she's just really good at fighting and it takes all of your strength to kill her. Not like, oh, I need to take this sword to kill her, but by taking this sword, I also become the apocalypse and I'm going to make it happen. What? I don't even fucking know. But...
like,
I'd like to point out that Guillermo's movies get rid of all of this right out of the gate by starting the movie with Hellboy's origin immediately.
Yes.
They don't take the time to like tell you about his origin in the third act of the movie.
Which is also probably another reason they decided to do the reboot because it was more convenient for the plot.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible reason.
It didn't work. It just is in terms of like story structure. It was ridiculous.
I mean,
I didn't care at that point.
It's sort of taking Hellboy and sort of dipping into this like progression fantasy sort of element which is sort of like Dragon Ball Z, where they just keep getting more powerful and there's no limits to how powerful they can get. And then their enemies get more powerful. And it's like it starts out as just like people and it ends up being like gods fighting gods.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Sort of the level we're getting at with this film.
No, it's the Zack Snyder problem.
Yeah, and I'm not saying like that none of that stuff ever works, but it just doesn't work when you like drag King Arthur into it like this. It's fucking stupid. It just is cheesy. childish. It doesn't come across.
That opening was rough, man.
Really?
My notes here says,
oh my God.
Never seen a movie just start out so bad in such high gear.
Yes.
Because it just kicks in at 60 miles per hour with just badness.
Right.
The called the Dark Ages, and for good fucking reason.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, that whole scene, the acting was horrendous.
Yeah.
Mila Jovovich, I don't know how this woman continues to get work. I'm sorry. Like, I put it this way. I don't know how her agent continues to get work, because she is just in bad movie after bad movie after. What's her best movie?
Fast Times at Dazed and Confused. Was she in Dazed? Yeah, she was in Dazed and Confused.
Mila Jovovich was in Dazed and Confused?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I guess then. Was she? Let's see.
I thought she was.
Yeah, she was. Dazed and Confused.
Okay.
Fifth Element.
You know, we were talking about her with Rachel recently, which is strange enough. But I think, and because Rachel was mentioning she likes the Resident Evil films.
Oh, wow.
No.
Which I think you can like those movies and understand that they're also kind of objectively not great.
Yeah.
But you can still like them. Like, you can like the world of Resident Evil and have a fun time with those movies.
Sure. I don't disagree.
So
Quentin Tarantino likes them.
That's
true.
Quentin Tarantino likes them.
Yeah, they are kind of fun. That's probably her best, like, most notable.
It's definitely her most notable in terms of, like, iconic performances in heavy quotes.
That would definitely be it.
Yeah, that's my point, though.
Yeah.
That's kind of my point. Yeah, I mean, and she's just horrible in this movie. And that opening scene where they cut the queen's head off and they put her head in a box. And there's just nothing menacing about it at all. She's just like, my head's in a box.
Also, she's been dead for, what, 500 years, 600 years, something like that?
Yeah.
And they cut up her limbs and stuffed her in various boxes and just split her around the world to prevent her from being powerful again.
Yep.
It took, like, a giant pig a week to get all of her parts back and put her together. And he only did it because he was upset at Hellboy.
Yes.
Because Hellboy got him in trouble when he was a baby pig.
Yeah, explain this to me. So he was the baby that was fluttering away
the
in the diaper?
So the idea is that, like, the...
Because, again, I remember watching the scene. I don't remember processing
it. Well, this is, like, a legit, like, British folklore thing, which is, like, fairies would steal your children and replace them with changelings that would look just like your child, but it's not actually your kid.
Yes.
Okay.
This was an actual, like, folklore. And
Hellboy, in his early days at the Academy,
went
to this couple's home and was like, is that actually a baby?
Okay, so you know in the movie Us where the doppelganger gets switched with the weird doppelganger?
Yes.
That's what happened here.
Got it.
Yeah, and you also have to understand what Hellboy's profession is. He is a supernatural investigator.
Yes.
That's
He's
important.
Supernatural investigator.
Like RIPD.
Yeah.
Well,
kind of
like Men in Black, but for ghosts and shit.
R.I.P.D.
Oh,
I prefer to go with the R.C. Cola of the monster detective universe.
I prefer to go with the shit that people have actually seen.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Has anybody seen R.I.P.D.?
Hell yeah.
Oh, no. I saw the ending of it in college and I walked out. It was terrible.
Jeff Bridges is good.
Sure.
I mean,
those are my only thoughts. Go ahead.
No, what I mean, I wasn't.
Not saying anything anymore. We're done.
So let me see. I'm going to go through all my notes and tell you the things that I was conscious about last night. And then we'll be done. Rasputin's in this movie, right?
Is he?
He was in that Nazi. So let's talk about that Nazi scene
for
a second.
Okay.
So in one of the many confounding scenes in this movie involved a bunch of Nazi scientists with Rasputin, like, summoning a demon from hell in order to win World War II. And at that point, that's when Hellboy comes out of, this is Hellboy's origin story, he comes out of the earth.
Yep.
And he's just like a baby demon. And he's not really adorable at all. He's actually pretty terrifying.
The character design for this baby Hellboy is some of the worst design I've ever seen in my life.
Really bad.
It's horrendous.
really bad. That's when Thomas Hayden Church swoops in and begins killing the Nazis.
Yes.
And that's when Ian McShane shows up, tasked with killing baby Hellboy, but instead he takes him under his wing and raises him as his own.
Because he's so adorable.
Because he's just a...
so cute.
Just a cute baby Hellboy. just one of many confounding things. I agree with you 100%. I don't understand why we needed all this historical context. Why can't it just be a demon, like, getting Starbucks? You know, just keep the story here and now. Just ground it. You know what I mean?
That's what Guillermo's Hellboy is.
Because that's where the comedy comes from. The comedy is watching this giant red man with like a gauntlet around his right arm just like bumping into shit.
Yeah, it's stupid.
You know? Like it is an innately absurd character, and the fish out of water element is the funny part. And here, like, there was just so many hoops to jump through of making this believable and making this character a badass and making this universe like a badass universe. And I just don't have an appetite for this type of filmmaking. And like, you can say whatever you want about The Descent. Like, I think that's a very good movie, and that's one of your favorite horror movies ever made. I am a little allergic to that Neil Marshall sensibility, and I think I said this to you when we talked about The Descent.
I don't think it's anything like Neil Marshall's other films, though.
Okay.
That's my point, though.
There is like there's a very sort of, I don't even want to use the word sophomoric, but it's just like, it's uber violent.
It's definitely uber violent.
Masculine, like, oh, this movie fucking kicks ass, man. There's definitely lots of blood.
There's definitely that in like Dog Soldiers.
Okay.
But I think it's always backed by the story and the character's trauma that it usually works. I mean, he did Blackwater, which is like, I guess, considered one of the best episodes of Game of Thrones.
Yes.
So
that's true.
So I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I don't know. I'm a little allergic to just,
you know what the problem is? This is like
this generation of filmmaker, I guess.
Sure.
It's almost like a fan fiction of Hellboy. Like, they're trying to explain the shit that doesn't need to be explained.
Yeah.
Well, the fan fiction thing is interesting too, because I've always felt like this movie is just throwing everything in the kitchen sink at you with no context for anything that happens. So I remember watching it at one point. Well, obviously watching it at the one point I saw it, and thinking like, man, I would not be surprised if Santa Claus showed up.
That's a great point.
That's
an incredible point.
Just the randomness to these scenes. Like, if you don't, like, the only reason I understood why Rasputin was in this movie is because I've seen Guillermo's Hellboy. But anybody watching this is going to be like, why the fuck is Rasputin in this movie?
Right.
Why is Merlin in this movie?
Right.
It's insane, guys. Like, the fact that the movie like left this for the public, the fact that they released this in its state is astounding to me. It's just nothing in this movie fundamentally works.
No, it's
terrible.
I'll tell you one thing that works.
What?
This might be controversial. I think David Harbour works.
You know, I'm not there with you at all.
I think he's good in the movie.
I think he's trying very, very, very hard.
I didn't see any problem with him in particular. I don't think he was better than what's his name?
Ron Perlman?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, he's so much better. No. Ron Perlman's so much better.
No, yeah. But, like, I don't think he was bad. I think he was actually a pretty decent replacement.
Ron Perlman is such a unique actor, though, and it, like, he is a bumbling red man.
Mm-hmm.
A bumbling you know what I mean? Like, that's what he is already. And so all you got to do is strap on a slightly bigger chin and some, like,
horns.
Sawed-off horns, and you're all set.
My feelings on this is that the girl, whoever she is an astoundingly bad performance.
His, like, sidekick.
Yeah. Like, I couldn't believe any of those takes were approved.
Yeah.
And the guy who turns into a jaguar, I'm just going to gleam over that, just turns into a leopard.
Is that the dude from Lost?
Yes, right.
The Asian guy from Lost.
I was going to say, he's in a lot of, like, TV shows that I've watched.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of shit.
Jin, right, from Lost.
Yep. Interesting actor as well, by the way.
What's his name? I know his name.
Yeah, you're... you mean the actor's name?
Yeah. What the hell's his name? Come on. I know it. It's there. Tip of my tongue. Daniel Day Kim.
Okay.
Daniel Day Kim.
Yes.
Hawaii 5-0 and shit. He's in a lot of, television.
I did not think he was particularly good either. And did you get to the part where he changes into a leopard?
I did not.
Okay.
Yeah, so he can change into a leopard.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. And he's always trying to hold it back because, you know, I can't unleash the beast.
he's always angry.
The thing you don't know about me is that I'm always angry. Oh, God, I'm not even going to finish it. Yeah. I think David Harbour is only technically the best performance. I actually think he's
sure,
pretty
by default.
Yeah. And that's part of my issue. Like I was pretty quick to judge him in a bubble. And I thought his performance was particularly flat and one note pretty much the entire time. It really is just, I'm a mopey child getting mad at my dad for not letting me go out and be.
But like,
I just find him. I just think
the script's bad.
No. And I agree.
You know what I mean? Like I don't think he was like a particularly unbelievable as this giant red demon character, you know.
Well, the script being bad is a genuine problem, because I mean I was just watching this character and I couldn't stand any scene I was in with him. I really hated this version of Hellboy.
I agree, you know? He was whiny and yeah,
I just thought he was like foul mouthed and obnoxious and stupid, and I don't know. I had no interest in, you know, spending time with a dude.
You want to know my favorite flashback?
What?
I'm sorry. I don't know why I just interrupted you. I should have waited. I just got really excited.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I don't care. What's your favorite flashback?
We'll take any excitement we can get this morning.
I just got really excited for a split second because I remembered something.
What's your favorite flashback, Nick?
It's very brief, but it's when they're talking to, Daniel Day?
Kim?
Okay.
Daniel Day-Lewis. Plays the leopard guy. Yep. Continue.
Because you would have fucking lost your mind if you were still awake for this part, Nico. Because it's so atrocious. It's such a trope. When she turns to him, the sidekick girl, she turns to him and she goes, so how did you get those scars? And then we have to get into his fucking backstory of how he got the scars.
Oh, God.
That's right.
He's like, I was part of my military group, whatever. We went out, did something, and I was the only survivor.
Are you playing a clip from the movie?
Yeah. And he goes, I was the only survivor. And she turns to him and she goes, I'm so sorry. And I'm just like, I'm fucking not. Who gives a shit? Don't tell me how he got his scars. I don't fucking care. I don't care. I don't give a fucking shit about this guy.
See, and this is the other thing that I hate so much about the movie that you're alluding to, is that the movie expects us to care about so many little things about these characters by interjecting moments exactly like that. And the fact that it has the confidence to go for that and expect us to buy into it is sort of what makes it so annoying and offensive to me.
Bad.
Like, stop trying, guys. We don't give a fuck.
The movie legitimately would have been better if they never explained anything about that character.
Yes.
If all we know is he's an Asian guy who turns into a leopard, like, leave it at that. I don't even care. Sure. I buy it.
You've already
gotten me to choose to watch a movie about a giant demon. You don't need to convince me any further.
Right.
No.
And that's the problem.
That's a great point. Yeah. It's funny. I was reading actually about this on Wikipedia as well, but that casting of Daniel Day-Kim was also the center of a lot of controversy because the original actor was a white guy. And in the comic books, apparently that character is Asian, and there was a lot of accusations about this performance being whitewashed. And so they had to bring Daniel Day-Kim in last minute because the other guy dropped out. And I'm just thinking to myself the whole time, why is it that only pointless movies are the center of this whitewash controversy?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? It's like, this role is not good enough to be arguing about which race should be playing it, because like this, it's just not a good role to begin with. No. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like that Ghost in the Shell controversy. It's like, okay, yeah, that should be an Asian character. Scarlett Johansson, whatever, is a white woman, and I get it. But also that movie fucking blows. It's like, you know what I mean?
Like, I mean, in that case, like, if they cast someone else, nobody would have known Ghost in the Shell at all.
Yeah.
Because the only reason people paid attention to that movie is because it had Scarlett Johansson in it.
Yeah. I just think a lot of times, like, these movies are just not worth debating or fighting over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just
because they're nothing. They're just shit.
They're just shit movies.
But
the fifth lead in the Hellboy reboot that nobody saw is like, I don't know if we're exactly pushing, you know, diversity forward with this box office bomb, which, by the way, they cut Guillermo out. They pushed him out of the third movie. both of his Hellboy movies did very well at the box office. In fact, the second one did better than the first. Mm-hmm. This movie was an objective bomb. I think cost somewhere in the ballpark of $60 million and only made 25 back.
Yep.
A complete and total flop, and also like cleaned up at the Razzies. So you get what you pay for. You know what I mean? I don't understand why studios do not understand the formula by now. Give good directors the opportunity to make their movies and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Guillermo's the one with the Best Picture Oscar and he's laughing now.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I would have loved to have seen his Hellboy. Yeah. I would have loved it. Instead, you know.
Last bit. For
got
me.
This thing.
Go ahead.
My last note. There was a after Nimue was released, she's basically walking the streets of London, literally like shooting fucking locusts from her hand into people's faces, and their corpses are falling over, eaten and dead. Mm-hmm. And like they're unleashing demons on the street. You have a giant 30-story demon just walking, stabbing people with its feet as it steps over them.
Oh, nice.
And then they cut to the news. The British government can't identify the source of the plague. Like, look out your fucking window. What are you saying? Hell is on earth.
People are getting pretty sick. It's, wonder what's the
they're
deal
like,
here.
Stay indoors. Also, the fact that this came out in 2019, right before like a real pandemic, and they kept that clip in. I mean, not that they would have known, but it just it does not age well, you know?
I wonder if it was a wet market, you know? I wonder if it was that chemical testing facility.
Also, what about the really quick too, Adam? There was a fight scene at the epilogue of the film, like trying to show like the, you know, Hellboy and the gang all together fighting demons and shit now or whatever, right?
Yes.
What did you think of that fight scene? Because I thought like it was decent cinematically,
I thought it was it's playing to an old like speed up slow down trick that was very popular in like the early 2000s and popularized mostly with 300, and I'm just like I just find that style of action to be so dated and music video-y and
could
annoying.
I agree more.
And it what do they play it to, like Kickstart My Heart? And I just thought that music choice there was just
well the
so
music
genius.
Choices were
music
terrible
so
the whole
so bad
they picked songs that literally just had like the word devil in it. And they're like, there we go. Like, that's not a good reason to pick.
Oh, my God. You're so right.
I just thought that ending fight scene was totally pointless, too.
Yeah.
It was absolutely pointless. But I was like, I was kind of just thinking, I'm like, where was this the rest of the movie?
I suppose it's because they're actually, quote unquote, fighting. They're not in a green room like fighting giants, but
I guess I have a problem with this movie just because I was expecting a fighting movie and there was just no fighting. It was all plot. It was
no,
all exposition.
Yeah, exactly.
What bothered me. So like when there actually was a moment of like actual action, I was like, this is okay. Do more of this.
It's all like plot and exposition, but every time they cut to do it, you still don't understand what the hell's going on. Like I said, you can never get your footing into this movie, and that's super irritating. It also sets up for a sequel that's never going to happen.
Never.
By introducing Abe Sapien, and I'm just like, yeah, thanks, movie. Fuck you, I'm gone.
Yeah, nobody...
It's like another fish man, Nico, but that's how this movie ends. With a fish man.
Wasn't that Doug Jones who plays the fish man in the...
In the original, yeah. Really good character. It would have been... honestly, I love that character. It would have been nice to have actually seen him in this movie.
Is Shape of Water in the same universe as Hellboy? Is that
when I saw the trailer for Shape of Water and I saw the creature, I'm just like, Guillermo, that's literally Abe Sapien.
No, that actually was speculated.
It was
for the. I don't know why I said speculated like that. Before before Shape of Water came out. I don't even know if it was before or after the trailer, but Doug Jones was playing a fish character and. I think a lot of people were like, oh, that's his Hellboy character, but it's like a romantic take on the story.
Like, I'm okay with that if they're in the same universe. Like, I buy that. The tones of the movies, like, it works
for
me.
Yeah, I buy it too.
Yeah.
I'm one of the weird people who really likes Shape of Water.
I do. I like Shape of Water too.
Okay, I feel like Nico, like, busts my balls about it a lot, but I really like that movie.
All the time.
Nico's got a stick up his ass about that movie. You know, let's just be honest. He's got a stick up his ass about a lot of movies.
I hate it so much. Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to say about this?
No, this movie's depressing to me.
Okay, good. Let's play a game quick. do, buddy. McShane, Harbour, Djokovic, Thomas Hayden Church.
I'm shocked at how many options there are for us.
How many options, but none of them good.
I guess David Harbour. Okay. Right? I guess by default, you got to do David Harbour.
How about McShane?
No.
McShane's been around for longer.
We'll have room to do Ian McShane if we ever want to do like Death Race or something.
Okay.
He's in a lot of bad movies too.
Certainly.
Man, we should do Death Race.
Death Race is
fucking
awesome.
Love Death Race.
I fucking love that.
So bad.
It's
I
not good.
It.
It's not good at all. But like,
oh my god, I want to watch that again.
To anybody who's like grown up playing like Death Race
Twisted
video
Metal.
Games, yeah, exact. Twisted Metal.
Twisted Metal 4 on the PlayStation 2.
I kept thinking of
love
Jack
that.
X.
The Twisted Metal. What a name for a thing,
dude! It's it was literally best. Like the cover. It was a. It was like a car racing. You're in a car and you shoot each other at the other cars and blow them up, like it's one of those great. Types of games. But like the lore is that there's a evil clown driving an ice cream truck, and he's the big bad.
Wow.
And what's his name? Do you remember?
It's not Smiley.
God.
What's his name?
Twisted Metal.
I should know this.
Clown. I haven't thought about this in such a long time.
What's his
Sweet
name?
Tooth.
Sweet Tooth.
Sweet
yeah.
Tooth.
And he drives an ice cream truck.
Sweet
yeah,
Tooth.
And he'll and oh my god. Just love it. And Rob Zombie, actually, they used his music in that game. Mm-hmm. So they gave him a character with a car and stuff.
Oh, that's funny.
So you could play Rob Zombie and shoot around, which is fun.
Twisted Metal is the shit.
Good shit.
All right, so David Harbour's the move?
Yeah. Sorry, I mean, he's got, well, I guess this was 2019, huh? I feel like this Hellboy movie came out a long time ago. I don't feel like this came out last year.
I know, right?
Yeah. Well, a lot has happened.
A lot has happened.
But, I mean, this is post-Stranger Things, huh?
Sure.
That makes it even worse.
The man's been around the block. I think Stranger Things was the show where everybody was like, oh yeah, maybe this guy can be the man that holds the gun. And we'll find out. He's going to be in the upcoming Black Widow movie. I know that.
I mean, I feel like he works in Stranger Things because he's an unconventional man who holds the gun in a way. He seems like a local town cop who's in over his head.
I think that's terrific casting. Yeah, I think, and that is the point of that character, is that
right.
He is the hero, but yeah, he is way in over his head.
And it works well there, so I don't know. I don't know if this, like, I don't like the way he looks in the Black Widow movie.
Yeah.
Not into it, but hey.
I'll go first. I'll say net worth, by the way, of Drew Carey, $190 million. I'm going to say somewhere in the ballpark of 60 Harbours to get to one Drew Carey. I'm going to say $3
million. $3 million?
For David Harbour.
All right.
Nick?
Yeah, we're going to be really, really fighting over pennies here. you said 60. I'll say 30. So 6 million.
Oh God, that was what I was going to say.
Yeah, really tight race.
Yeah, I guess I have to box myself in here.
You okay. Can also box me in or something.
No, because he's not worth more than $30 million.
Okay. What's your guess?
I went 20 million, so it's like 9.5 David Harbour's to get to Drew Carey.
Wow. Okay. So you went way over. All right. 3 million, 6 million, 20 million.
Yeah. 20 million.
Okay. Stranger Things. Really paying those bills, huh?
Yeah.
You should go 10. Well, you should go 10 million.
Should I?
Yeah. Because
do whatever you want.
You have a lot more room.
You do whatever you want.
No, I'll go 20 million.
All right.
Okay. All right. Good. One of us got it exactly right. Okay. And it's not Adam. The actual net worth of David Harbour, $6 million. Nick, you just won this week's edition of...
Have I been on a weird roll?
Oh, wrong button. How many Drew Carries?
I thought Nick said 30 million. Why did I hear him say
no, no, no. 30 David Harbours.
Oh, I see. I was confused.
Sorry, 30 David Harbours.
All right. So it doesn't matter. Nick got it.
That was I've been on a weird roll, huh?
Yeah, you have. I haven't won. I don't think I've won a single one this year.
I know. Ever since you stopped cheating.
Yeah, that's
it's funny.
ever since I stopped cheating.
It's funny how that works. When you don't cheat, you don't win as much. Yeah.
By the
it's
way,
weird.
I was watching a show last night and I saw our boy Matt Lucas.
Whoa.
Did you know he's on the Great British Bake Off this year?
What?
He's been on the Great British Bake Off.
I didn't know he's been on it. I think that's still a new thing because he was new.
I thought he has been the host of that show, hasn't he? Oh, maybe not. Maybe you're right. Maybe he did just join it this year.
Yeah, because it was always Neil...
Neil Breen?
Fielding? Noel.
Yeah.
Noel Fielding. That's
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. No, I think he's been on there for a little while. What, is it on Netflix now? Is that how you're watching it?
Yeah. It was just weird seeing Matt Lucas again.
Yeah.
Seeing our boy. Who definitely has listened to our podcast. Like, I'm sure of that.
I'm pretty positive.
We were the only people talking about his shitty show.
We had that corner just completely ripped off. Shout out to Matt Lucas if you're still listening.
But I gotta say, he was actually fairly funny. I actually find him kind of funny when he's just talking to people, waddling around the set of the big tent.
Don't say waddle.
No, he waddles. Yeah, if you watch the way he walks, he waddles.
All right, I have people over. I have to go because it's tailgating time. I'm tailgating Sunday afternoon football.
Nothing better to do over here.
We're tailgating a fake game in my driveway.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I love the effort.
It's one of the dumbest ideas we've ever had.
Yes.
But we're going all in. We're going all in. Go to the Discord. No longer don't vote in the Frank draft. I mean, even if you want to, your vote's not going to matter because I conceded anyway. Nick, congratulations on your fraudulent win.
Whoa.
Next week.
What are we? Are we doing another draft?
Let's let's let this one breathe a little bit.
Okay.
I need to pick myself back up again.
Next week is Thanksgiving.
It is. And we should really be thankful for one another next week and not be at each other's throats.
So the Christopher Columbus draft?
So
the Chris draft?
We will be doing the Nick draft around Christmas, I think.
The Chris draft, though, that one can get ugly. We may need to draft like 8 names. It was a weird sneeze. We may need to draft like 8 Chrises because the Chris Wars have already been a thing.
Oh, you mean like with the sheer number of good Chrises there are?
People are very territorial about their Chrises.
Oh, that's true.
I think if we do a Chris thing, we can't allow Christina. You know what I mean? That's just going to be too much.
There's a lot of Chrises, if that's the case, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to have to figure that out. Yeah,
I'm not ready for it next week.
Paul's? You want to do
the
a
week after.
Want to do a Paul draft?
What's next week, Nick? We should actually announce this now because we know what the movie's going to be.
It's a movie. It's a little movie called To Wong Fu. Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. That's the name of the movie.
One of the worst titles ever conceived.
I think the worst title ever conceived.
It's either that or that like shockingly evil movie. I still can't say the name. The fact that I can't say the name of that movie.
Oh, yes. The vile, shockingly evil. And yeah,
it's a problem when I literally cannot say your movie title.
Even just getting rid of the To Wong Fu part would have made it more understandable because it's hard to even understand what the title means. Just Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. That would have been a title. Like, it's weird, but
I'm not convinced it's that important to the movie.
I'm not either. They could have come up with a better name.
Yeah.
But seriously, we're doing it because next week is Thanksgiving and we needed a movie with the word thanks in the title. And that was it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I think that's the way to do it.
Next week.
God, I am so excited to talk about this movie, Nico.
Oh my God, it's going to be Nico's favorite movie seriously. It is so Nico that it's like kind of disgusting.
I don't know, man. It's just I highly recommend if you're listening now and you want to enjoy the conversation next week, take some time, watch this fucking movie. It is wild, and it is available on Netflix. So
wonderful. Oh, great.
This is rare for us. Usually the shit we watch is not easy to find.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I had to buy Hellboy on Amazon.
Oh, God. You had to buy it?
Well, it was only $4, but it wasn't for rent. It was for buy.
Really? Oh, no.
Yeah, because it's on Cinemax. And now for some reason, I don't get Cinemax anymore. I don't know what is up with my cable because I pay so much money and I don't have any channels.
I was going to say, I've been using your stuff all the time. So it's like,
I don't know what I'm using every service.
I'm relying on you to make sure this stuff is working.
Are you still watching Mando on my Disney Plus?
Yes, of course I am.
Nick, are you watching Mando on my Disney Plus?
I don't need your Disney Plus anymore.
Oh.
If you don't
because once Mando's over, I'm canceling that damn thing. Because I've been paying for it for a year, and I watched like Who Framed Roger Rabbit once.
Yeah,
and that was it.
I hate how it comes down to Mandalorian and like nothing else.
Yeah,
it's really a
waste
of
a service. Yeah.
But then WandaVision's gonna
come. No, I don't know.
All right, I have tailgating to do. I love you very much, and until next time, you've been so naughty.